Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of What the Dementia by Bamboo Care. I'm your host, Brianna Wilson. I'm a certified dementia practitioner and the founder of Bamboo Care, where you can find us at letsbamboo.com. So, today's episode won't be relevant to everyone, but I really wanted to make sure that we talked about Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome on What the Dementia, because it's a type of dementia that doesn't really get talked about a lot, and it often goes under-recognized and underdiagnosed, and so it deserves some attention, okay? Before we get started, if you didn't already know, Bamboo Care is much more than just a podcast. We are actually an entire platform, and as a part of that, we are home to the ultimate dementia care resource library called The Treehouse, which gives dementia caregivers access to not only podcasts, but things like videos, blogs, activities, handouts and printables, webinars, product recommendations, all in one place. So if you're interested in joining us inside the treehouse, please visit letsbamboo.com/treehouse, okay? So anytime we talk about any type or form of dementia, I like to start off with what dementia actually is, just so that everyone can be on the same page. So dementia is this big umbrella term to define a collection of symptoms that affect memory, thinking, behavior, and emotion, even language, in such a way that daily functioning is significantly impacted. And these symptoms can be caused by a number of different diseases or conditions, okay? So in the case of Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome, the symptoms of dementia are the result of brain damage caused by a severe thiamine deficiency. Thiamine is a B1 vitamin that helps brain cells produce energy from sugar. So when thiamine levels fall below a certain threshold, brain cells cannot generate enough energy to function properly, which obviously creates some issues. Now, Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome is actually made up of two conditions, Wernicke encephalopathy and Korsakoff syndrome. And so if the person first had Wernicke encephalopathy that progressed into Korsakoff syndrome, you may hear the term Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome used. Another term that you may hear used is alcohol-related dementia. And so this may be referring to Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome or just Korsakoff syndrome on its own, which might be like, wait, what? Didn't you just say it was caused by a severe thiamine deficiency? Where'd alcohol come from, right? So although Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome is not exclusive to alcoholics, alcoholism accounts for up to 90% of thiamine deficiency cases. But even so, not all heavy drinkers will develop Korsakoff syndrome. Now, other causes of thiamine deficiency can be malnutrition, eating disorders like anorexia nervosa, excessive vomiting, metastatic cancers, chemotherapy, bariatric surgeries, AIDS, chronic infections, dialysis, things like that. Anything that can contribute to a thiamine deficiency through various mechanisms and etiologies, okay? So with alcohol, what typically happens is that chronic alcohol users and abusers have a tendency to forgo vitamin-rich foods in favor of high-carb diets with low nutritional value, or they may not eat much at all. Alcohol can also inflame the lining of the stomach, causing frequent vomiting, and make it difficult for the body to absorb and store key vitamins. And then, of course, alcohol use can just come with its own problems, like brain damage through the direct toxic effects of alcohol on brain cells, the biological stress of repeated intoxication and withdrawal, alcohol-related cerebrovascular disease, and head injuries sustained when a person is intoxicated, okay? So now that that's covered, let's take a step back and explain the two conditions that make up Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome, starting with Wernicke encephalopathy. So encephalopathy just means a disturbance of brain function, and Wernicke is the last name of a German physician, Karl Wernicke, who Wernicke encephalopathy was named after because his research helped establish the link between thiamine deficiency and the development of this acute brain condition. Now, if you've ever heard of Wernicke's area, it's a region of the brain that was also named after Carl, but it's completely unrelated to Wernicke encephalopathy, so I don't want there to be any confusion there, okay? So, Wernicke encephalopathy is understood as an acute brain reaction to severe thiamine deficiency and is a potentially reversible illness. Now, at this stage, it is not considered dementia, but it is considered a medical emergency and leads up to death in 20% of cases. And for the ones that live, 85% will develop Korsakoff syndrome, which is then where dementia comes into the picture. Now, unfortunately, about 80% of Wernicke encephalopathy cases aren't diagnosed during a person's life, which means that there are a big chunk of people passing away from Wernicke encephalopathy, but they're actually falling under the radar, which is actually pretty crazy to think about. So, what are some symptoms of Wernicke encephalopathy? So, Wernicke encephalopathy is characterized by delirium and confusion, lack of energy, hypothermia or low blood pressure, ataxia, which is incoordination, so they'll have issues with balance, coordination, and have trouble walking. And because of this, oftentimes they may require a wheelchair or adaptive device to help them walk. Slurred speech due to dysarthria, which is caused by weak muscles that help produce speech. And then changes in vision, such as double vision, nystagmus, which is rapid, jerky, uncontrollable eye movements, or ophthalmoplegia, which is paralysis or weakness of the eye muscles. Now, the problem is these symptoms can be easily overlooked in people with alcoholism because oftentimes these changes will just be contributed to the drinking behavior. Or people may think the delirium, for example, is because of alcohol withdrawal. Also, a lot of times, because it does go unrecognized, it's not treated properly, and a lot of times these people can end up with some level of impaired consciousness, or they may even be in a comatose state, okay? Also, the person may not present with all of these symptoms and signs, and this is why it's recommended that doctors use Crane criteria to help improve diagnostic sensitivity for the diagnosis of Wernicke encephalopathy. So with Crane criteria, we're looking at four key signs and symptoms: a nutritional deficiency, altered mental state or memory, abnormal eye movements, and cerebellar dysfunction, which is referring to ataxia. So if any person has at least two of the four, then Wernicke encephalopathy should be suspected, and their thiamine status should be checked. So, if a person does have Wernicke encephalopathy, it is recommended that they are treated with high doses of thiamine intravenously, as well as glucose, and they often need rehydration as well. Now, something that clinicians sometimes miss is that magnesium levels are also often low in individuals with alcohol dependence. So, if the person does have a history of alcohol abuse, magnesium levels should be checked too. Why? Well, one, magnesium deficiencies can cause seizures, and two, thiamine supplementation may be ineffective if existing or developing magnesium deficiencies are not corrected at the same time. So it's just something important to be aware of, okay? Now, if Wernicke encephalopathy can be adequately treated in a timely manner, then improvement in the person's condition can be seen, and the abnormalities in eye movement and the delirium and confusion are usually the first to improve, but the ataxia usually takes a little bit longer, a couple of months even, but again, it depends on how quickly and effectively it's able to be treated. So there will be some people who have residual symptoms. Now, for those who go undiagnosed, or just aren't treated properly and in a timely manner, they will either pass away or go on to develop Korsakoff syndrome. Like I mentioned, about 85% of Wernicke encephalopathy survivors will develop Korsakoff syndrome. So let's talk about Korsakoff syndrome now. So Korsakoff is typically the chronic manifestation of an adequately treated Wernicke encephalopathy, again caused by a severe deficiency of thiamine. Now, Korsakoff syndrome isn't always preceded by Wernicke encephalopathy, but it often is. And when it is, that's how people end up with Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome, right? So, like I mentioned, Korsakoff syndrome is where dementia comes into the picture, but it's important to know that Korsakoff syndrome is not actually considered a progressive form of dementia. As I've mentioned before on the What the Dementia podcast, not all dementias are progressive in nature, okay? So what they've found with Korsakoff syndrome is that if the thiamine levels can be improved, if the person can maintain a healthy nutritional diet, and the person can stop drinking if that's what caused the deficiency in the first place, then symptoms related to Korsakoff, which we'll talk about in a moment, may either improve a bit or stabilize. But it's important to know that if recovery or improvement is going to happen, it is usually a pretty slow process. So, what are some symptoms of Korsakoff syndrome? So, Korsakoff syndrome is characterized by severe anterograde amnesia. So, there will be trouble learning new information and remembering recent events. Retrograde amnesia, so episodic memory of events from a person's past, is often severely impacted, and semantic memory and knowledge of facts, concepts, and language is variably affected. But the person may have serious gaps in their memory and have a hard time properly sequencing events in their life, and they may also think that they're a lot younger than what they actually are. Korsakoff syndrome is also characterized by confabulation. This is one of the hallmark symptoms. And so confabulation is where the person fills in gaps in their memory. And sometimes you'll hear it referred to as honest lying because the person really does think that they're telling the truth, but they're not. They're filling in gaps in their memory. Repetitive speech and actions. Now, this one can throw off a lot of people because people with Korsakoff syndrome can be really fluent and coherent in their speech, but they will repeat the same things over and over again because they often have no recollection of the conversation ever taking place, okay? The person will also often have hallucinations, which are typically visual or auditory in nature. Problems with decision making, as well as planning, organizing, and completing tasks. There is also typically an issue with lack of motivation, a flattened affect, apathy, which is an indifference to things. So there will be this issue with self-initiating goal-oriented activities, and then anosognosia, which is a lack of insight into their deficits. So you can imagine how being unaware of all of this could complicate all of this, right? And then keep in mind that people with Korsakoff syndrome can still have residual ataxia and eye movement issues that originated from the earlier Wernicke's encephalopathy, okay? So there can be a lot going on, and about 25% of people with Korsakoff syndrome or Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome will end up institutionalized. And there's many reasons for this, but let me just say that if alcoholism is what led to all of this, quitting alcohol is very hard for some people to do. And unfortunately, many people with Korsakoff syndrome will return to drinking alcohol even after a diagnosis, okay? There are also usually a lot of mental health issues in this population that go unaddressed. We're talking about depression, personality disorders, distressing hallucinations, etc. It's also not uncommon for people with Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome to have comorbidities such as COPD, liver cirrhosis, peripheral arterial disease, history of stroke, diabetes, epilepsy, or a heart attack, which can of course add some additional complexities. So people with Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome need not only proper medical care, but also help with quitting smoking, nutritional guidance, and mental health support. So a strong multidisciplinary team is necessary, and ongoing support is going to be necessary as well. And oftentimes that can kind of fall short, especially within our current healthcare system. And then also don't forget that we still have the big issue of Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome going unrecognized and being underdiagnosed to begin with, which also has devastating consequences, okay? But I think that's where we will end today's episode. I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but I did want to tell you more about Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome. I hope that you found this episode interesting and informative. If you did, please consider leaving us a review to help others find the podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or future podcast requests, you can send us an email at podcast@whatthedementia.com or contact us through our website, letsbamboo.com. And if you love our content, you'll definitely love the Treehouse, which you can join at letsbamboo.com/treehouse. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of What the Dementia by Bamboo Care. We look forward to catching you on the next episode. Take care, and until next time, stay strong, care on, and remember, you are not alone. Bamboo Care is always here.